And in Romans 8 and verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Lord's Day helps us to celebrate every week the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It was on the Lord's Day, 7 weeks after the resurrection. And the Holy Spirit came then very visibly, not in his person visibly, but in his effects. Cloven tongues of fire, the rushing mighty wind. All these things were wonderful to see, and that attracted a great crowd to come. So the Holy Spirit, if you like, announced his coming as distinctive for Christians in a way that could not be mistaken. And just how remarkable it was. You think that it was a time when people were gathered from all the known world, Jews out of every place, and some interested believers that were Gentiles, but had gathered to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And in Acts 2 we have a list of all the different people there, and it's very fascinating. They all knew Greek. They probably all knew Latin. And yet even in all those different languages, they were competent to speak those dialects. For they comment, you see, how is it that we all hear the gospel preached to us in the language in which we were born? Not Latin, not Greek, but in Elam, or Parthia, or Libya, or Cyrene, or wherever. And by this, of course, the Lord was reversing Babylon. And by this, the Lord was indicating that the gospel was to be preached throughout the world, as far as possible in people's first language. For it's only in that language that you get the nuances of everything that is written. And hence the wonderful work of translation that persists of the Bible to this day. But though the Holy Spirit wonderfully and noisily and visibly came on the whole multitude of believers that were there, there was no escaping the fact that every individual received the Spirit. We're told specifically of the apostles. And that different languages were spoken by different individuals, doubtless designed by the Lord that they should speak in the company of those whose language they would understand. But all this was wonderfully orchestrated by the Holy Spirit of God. But the point that I want to make is that in all this outpouring of the Spirit generally was the arriving individually of the Holy Spirit in each heart. And from that time, henceforward, the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in the heart of each believer at the time of their being born again. We're told that if we do not have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. And therefore, from the time we are first believers, from the time that we are first aware that the Lord is working in our hearts to save us, all this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's sometimes argued that until we ourselves have become, if you like, committed Christians, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, but not within us. And whether that is true or not, I can't remember for myself. But this is certainly true. That by the time everyone comes to the point of confessing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it has to have been the Spirit who has worked in their heart to create faith, to plant the seed of belief, to give the knowledge, to bring them to an understanding of their sin, in order to prepare them to come and repent before the Lord Jesus Christ, who at the time he pronounces to them, "Thy sins are forgiven thee, go and sin no more," that they may be said to be Christians. And at what point the Holy Spirit takes up residence, as distinct from being upon them and acting upon them, is a moot point. But we are told that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now our text tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, the Spirit doesn't lead anybody who is from within, who is not a child of God. Or conversely, you may say that all children of God are led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's a reminder, of course, that we are not to undermine the third person of the Trinity. He is the glorious person who applies to us all the things that the Lord Jesus has won for us at Calvary. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And of course it is in this chapter that you notice in verse 9 the Spirit of God, and you notice that if in verse 11 it's the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. The Spirit is of God. In verse 9 also, the Spirit is of Christ. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Godhead, the life and the being conformed to the teaching and the attributes of the great God are all vested in the Spirit who is given to the Lord Jesus' people beginning at Pentecost. It's called a baptism of the Holy Ghost, called a baptism of fire. Baptism of fire partly because he purifies our hearts and partly because he burns like a fire in order to increase our love and increase our action and energy towards the Lord Jesus Christ. As many then as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In what way may we say that the Spirit of God leads the sons of God? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The action of the Holy Spirit in our lives is very often imperceptible. How is faith born in the heart of a believer, that a believer turns to the Lord Jesus and loves the Lord Jesus Christ? Yet without the Holy Spirit, no man or woman is capable of exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the ways in which we may recognize the leading of the Spirit of God is when he constantly leads us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He draws us to him. He makes us to be in love with him. He makes us to appreciate, because of our sinfulness, the extent, as we were thinking this morning, of his kindness towards us in making an atonement for our sin. The Holy Spirit it is that makes us appreciate just what it is that the Lord Jesus accomplished in delivering us from sin. He does this, of course, as frequently as we sin. It is far too frequently. But it is then when he applies to us our understanding of many things about the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes us understand that Jesus didn't do what we've just done. And that it was an enormous thing for Jesus to go through to make up for what we have done. That he went through death, which we up till now have not understood. And that not only did he die, but he endured a shameful death. But all these things the Holy Spirit makes real with the endeavour to seek to prevent us from sinning again. In order that he may sanctify us, make us holy, make us to live lives according to the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And you may take encouragement, though the sin was bad, yet the fact that you are led to mourn over sin, for blessed are they that mourn, and the fact that the Holy Spirit is teaching you from these things is evidence that he is leading you. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to lead. And by that we understand that he is our Lord. You understand when you go out with friends and one leads, one arranges it or one suggests it. We're in a home, you've got a husband and a wife and the man leads. And it is the leading of the Holy Spirit that is to govern the life of a Christian, the life of a believer. How then is this done? And then of course comes that tremendous, wonderful unction that we have within. It is the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit, the creativity of the Holy Spirit, that enables us to read with understanding the book that he has written, the Bible. And I think this was one of the most wonderful, wonderful lessons that I was taught at the beginning of my Christian life, when I first was in love with the Lord Jesus Christ for what he'd done for my soul. And I began to read the Bible. And I began to be conscious that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in glory, was there by his Spirit. And that he was personally teaching me. And that he was personally showing me a whole new realm of things that I'd never even imagined was there. Of course, I'd read bits of the Bible before as a youngster, but it had never really meant anything. But now it was a fire. Now it was a flame. Now it was all relevant. Now everything about it was encouraging, exciting, wonderful, marvellous, new, fresh. And it's the Holy Spirit. His ministry brings us to the Word. For this is the beginning of the unfolding of everything that will ever be of significance in our Christian life. For the Lord will speak to us, and therefore will govern us, and therefore will respond to our prayers, but he will speak to us from his written Word. Very, very rarely, because of its dangers in our the remnants of our old nature in our mind, very, very, very rarely does the Spirit speak to us directly into our minds. I won't say it never happens, but it's highly dangerous. It's dangerous in this sort of way. If a person lies to you, every time you speak to him from that time onwards, you think, is this a lie or is it not? And if we believe to think that we're led by the thoughts that God puts directly into our own hearts, that's highly dangerous. Is this our old nature? Is this Satan gaining an entrance? Is this legitimate? Is this something that's come from hell, from the deepest pit? But safety lies in the written, the inscripturated Word of God. And it is this that the Holy Spirit will spend a whole lifetime with us, instructing us from. The pleasure of the Scriptures lies in two ways. Just like when we're young, you ask yourself, what is it that made me interested in whatever subject it was, history, biology, whatever? Some will say, well, initially it was biology. Others will say, no, actually it was the biology teacher. And that's true, isn't it? Sometimes a teacher will attract you to his or her subject. But you will get to love the subject. And so it is that in this matter, it is the teacher, the presence of the teacher, the Holy Spirit, taking us through the scriptures and subsequently bringing back to our minds, as came back to the minds of Mary, mind of Mary, the things that the shepherds have spoken, when we need those scriptures. We might be reading Ephesians at the time when the word that we actually need for that very moment is in Genesis. But it's the Holy Spirit that will bring that thing back to our mind. Now, it is a faculty that we have. Non-Christians can have things come back to mind. Nobody denies that at all. It's the nature of what we recall. It's the relevance of what we recall. And it's the application that we may do or take note of what we recall. So one of the wonderful leadings of the Holy Spirit is that we are introduced to, given an understanding. We have this unction. We don't need the church to teach us. We ourselves may understand. And though it is legitimate to hear a preacher preach, we mustn't be taken in. We have to search the scriptures with this same Holy Spirit leading us as to whether these things are true. And then the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts. Yes, it is true. We've read it for ourselves. It comes across as true and right. The Holy Spirit makes us understand. And we therefore understand not because the preacher preached it, but because the Spirit taught us from his word what we are to believe and what is right. So it is a great thrill to be led by the Holy Spirit into his words. I know I've told you before of the arrogance that we used to have as students at Oxford. And it was a whole group of us did it, and I think it was done in perpetuity, really, among students. But we didn't go to lectures, if we could get out of them, on the grounds that if he was a good lecturer, he'd written a book and we could read the book. And if he hadn't written the book, he wasn't good enough to go to his lectures. Well, that was our arrogance and reading. But here, the Holy Spirit has written a book. He is its author. He inspired its penmen. He, together with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, know exactly how the book was framed, how it was brought into existence, for what situations in all the believers down all the years it's for. And it is his pleasure to teach you and me. And we have top class information. We have certain accurate teaching. And we have a delightful friend that we may talk to while we're being taught. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're led to repentance and they're led to faith. And then they're led to the scriptures. And that embraces everything, really. But by the scriptures, the Holy Spirit leads his people to sanctification. It was the great subject of Romans 8, but it's quite a tortuous passage through it. I need to be going through it properly just to take you through that. But the Holy Spirit leads us to put aside the old values of life. To put aside the things that would bind us to earth. The world is crucified to us and we unto the world. The body is mortified, it's put dead. But the life of the Spirit is how he leads us in sanctification. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Not actually dead, but its loves and things. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Romans 8 verse 10. So another delight that the Holy Spirit has in accompanying us is to bring us more and more to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, known as the doctrine of sanctification. The word sanctification comes from the Latin sanctus, which means holy. In other words, make us like the Holy Spirit and like the Holy Lord Jesus Christ and like our holy God. We are to be sanctified. Now, it's all here in the Word. It's not done other than in the Word. And in the prayer I spoke, that we might enjoy those nine things that are mentioned as the fruit of the Spirit, but there are other things as well. But you see, it's a lifetime's apprenticeship. We do become skilled. If you think of a cabinet maker who's been apprenticed, and now he can be left on his own. And if he becomes a real master craftsman, he can think of designs of his own and think of an exquisite nature of his the things he'll work and make, and he can think of the particular woods he'll make them in. He really does become an expert. And the Holy Spirit desires to make us experts, in inverted commas, in the whole practical situation of living. Just how poorly we learn, we'll all be aware. But let me just go through those nine again. But you see, it is He, the Holy Spirit, who teaches us about loving our neighbours, loving other believers, loving in situations where the unlovable, the unlovely. He might begin by enabling us to love those in the church whom we quite like anyway and who touched upon our lives and helped us in some way, that we might think of them more highly than we think of ourselves and that we might value them. But then when we think we've learned about loving, we're suddenly faced with the unlovely. Can't love that one. But you see, how were people drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ? How was that woman who came and never ceased to cry at the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with the hairs of her head because she'd been weeping over him and then anointed him? How did she see that here was a man that was different? He was a man who wouldn't teach her, a harlot, treat her as a harlot like all the other men did, abuse her like other men did, despise her like other men did, push her out of the church like other people, the synagogue like other people did. How did he know that? How did she know that? There was some attractiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was some initiative that came from his innate character. We're getting a bit more advanced in the master craftsmanship of love when the Holy Spirit has got us that far in love. But that's not the only thing he's teaching us. He also sanctifies us with joy. Do you remember? Count it all joy, my friends, brothers, when you were tempted. You counted it joy when they despoiled your house. So again, we need a good grounding in joy in order that when the really testing times and people are looking at us to see if we can rejoice in those bad situations, the sanctifying instruction of the Holy Spirit is a daily thing. I was going to say, he tests us in all sorts of situations. But I've also told you before that we used to hate as schoolboys the unannounced examination, rather like you might not like an unannounced Ofsted. You see, we had teachers who, when we knew when our maths exam was going to be, but we also had teachers who would march in one day, sling his books on the table with a great thud, say, right, we're going to have a maths exam today. I want to see how much you've all taken in. Did we love those lessons? But you see, Jesus does this. The Holy Spirit teaches us about love and about joy. And then he gives us a test. He gives us an exam. He gives us a situation, one which might well have caught us out. We weren't expecting it. And we'll see how we've been getting on. Peace. We'll never in this life be made perfect in any of these. Peace. The giving of the peace in the heart. I don't know what the opposite of peace is. I'm trying to say panic. However, the Holy Spirit, you see, in leading us, is teaching us to be more like the Saviour. What did he do when he heard that Lazarus was dead? Well, he didn't pick up everything and run off as fast as he could, did he, back to the place. He waited 2 or 3 days while he was teaching and then the days that the journey would take. He knew what he was to do in the Lord. And in our case, maybe we'd have to wait and beseech the Lord to know what we should do in a situation rather than responding at a jump. But this is all part of the daily ministry of the Holy Spirit in leading us. It's nice always to be with a friend. And it's nice to be with the Lord Jesus by his Spirit. Long suffering. We do get a bit uptight about long suffering. Oh, I put up with this for so long. A person, a situation, whatever. And suddenly we think, I've had enough. We explode. But the Holy Spirit leads us in this whole realm of long suffering. What did the Lord Jesus go through? That would be the principal way we would learn. We would observe his life. We would observe the way Jesus reacted to by turning, teaching that you turn the other cheek by doing so when he was with the soldiers and so on. But we're led into being made more and more like our Saviour. Gentleness. Now you will observe that some people by nature are more peaceful. Some people by nature are more loving. And of course there is more need for learning spiritually, you would think, when by nature we wouldn't be like that. Well, you see the results like that. But it may be there's more need to learn of the Spirit when we're all right, naturally. Because we shall come a cropper. In this way, here is somebody that is gentle by nature. So, they don't take particular notice of the teaching of the Holy Spirit concerning sanctification, which has to do with gentleness. But then their natural gentleness one day runs out. They thought they would always be gentle, but they're not. All these things. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance, which means self-control in a whole load of situations. Now, I'm simply trying to show you that it is the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that fashions us as believers, having been brought to know him. Without that Spirit, we are none of Christ. Without his presence by the Spirit reigning in our hearts over our sins and our capacities. And of course, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord, the Holy Spirit, ordering our lives, ordering the events of our lives, ordering the order of things that happen in our lives, working all things together for good in our lives. As many as are led by the Spirit. A wonderful thing to be led by him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, you lead a dog. In days gone by, you might have thought more of leading a horse. Horses like to be led, like to be nuzzled, like their owner to have their arm around their face. And they submitted to their control willingly. And poor human beings like we are do much, much better submitted to the Holy Spirit, being led by him where he knows it would be best for us to go and into what situations it is best for us to enter. So just as a beginning, I wanted just to dwell with that theme. Here the Holy Spirit comes down at Pentecost. Comes down on a massive scale. Indeed, he works on a massive scale in millions of hearts at the same time now. But he came on individual believers. And to this day it is a mark of a Christian that he or she is indwelt by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Either phrase is used in the scriptures. And we are taught so many things. And most of those things he teaches us from the scriptures. Well, may the Lord help us to think that this is, if you like, an evidence. If we are led by the Spirit, then we are the children, the sons of God. May the Lord help us, and may we enjoy that ministry, highly personalized on our behalf. Amen.